name is Maria Costantini Ferrando, and I am a physician. I am a reproductive endocrinologist at Reproductive Medicine Associates of New Jersey.
Why would someone want to freeze their eggs?
That's a very good question, and one that many people are starting to ask more frequently now that they're becoming aware that this is an option. Egg freezing is about women's self-empowerment. Self-empowerment means having the ability to have the sufficient knowledge to make options, to make decisions for your life. So egg freezing is one of those things that gives you options in your life. And how so, you may ask? Women's biological clock. That is the important concept here. It changes over time. Why am I saying that knowledge is power? It's because whether people are aware or not, the peak biological age for fertility in women is in their 20s. Meaning, if you had to go by when your ovaries are ready and when the best time is for you to try and get pregnant, it should be in their 20s. However, perception on surveys is over almost 60% of women believe that the biological clock stops ticking at age 44. Unfortunately, that's not the case. So knowledge is power, because if you know what happens in your body, you know what steps to take in order to preserve your fertility. So what happens with your ovaries? What happens is that we have a finite egg number of egg of quantity and egg quality. So quantity in the quality of your egg is you are born with about 1 to 2 million eggs by the time you come out of the womb. By the time you reach puberty, you're down to 300 to 500,000. By the time you start reaching your late 30s, and some people is mid-30s, some people is late 30s, some people may be early 40s, but your numbers may have gone down to as low as 25,000. So what happens through time is the numbers start going lower, lower, and lower. However, it's not just a question of quantity. It's also a question of quality. The ones that are left over are not as good as the ones that we used to have. And we don't have as many when we were in our late 30s than we used to have when we were in our teens and 20s. So that is the problem. The problem is the human eggs are finite and they do not regenerate. 4 out of 5 women want to delay childbearing, right? And there's many reasons why women want to delay childbearing. I think in surveys, at least a third of women want to delay childbearing because of career, education, right? These are all reasonable, important options that women have now that they didn't have in the past. Other people, you know, like up to 20-25% of people said, well, I'm really not for sure I want to have children. So I don't want to make that decision now. I don't want to have a child now when I'm not even sure if I want to have a child, right? So here's a concept in psychology that is known as cognitive dissonance. I don't know if you ever heard this term.
Yes.
But it simply means, hey, what the heck do I do? On one hand, I know time's going by and my biological clock is ticking. On the other, I don't want to do this. I'm not ready to be a mother. So how do I resolve that conflict? And here's where egg freezing becomes an answer. When I was a fellow, that's over 10 years ago, in my days at Cornell, we would sit with patients who were cancer patients. Mm-hmm. And we would start talking about freezing their eggs before they would undergo chemotherapy or radiation, all those kinds of procedures, which unfortunately we know affect your ovaries. And so we'd sit with these patients and say to them, you know, there's this option. You may not know it. However, you could freeze your eggs. But what was the problem then? The problem is we didn't do so well in freezing. So egg freezing seemed to be more of a science fiction thing than a reality. In fact, by the American Society of Reproductive Medicine, for many years, it was considered to be an experimental procedure that we only would use when it was absolutely necessary, as in cancer patients. But it is no longer science fiction, and this is important. As the science has progressed significantly, people are becoming more aware of it. So the general GYN will be the patient in their late 20s, early 30s, and they say, hey, you have a partner. What are your thoughts about childbearing? And if there is no such plan, they'll start saying to them, you want to think about egg freezing. Or, you know, we have women who come to me and they'll say, hey, my friend was a patient of yours and she came to you and I think I want to do the same thing. We're getting it both from the general OBGYN community. We're getting it from patients who are informed, who read about it. And that's a fair question. So that's why we're getting both. And we're also going out there and we try to be champions of this and to say to people, look, this is out there. It's real and it works. A woman who comes in her early 40s to freeze her eggs is not something that makes sense physiologically. At that point, you don't want to be freezing eggs. And sometimes patients come to us and when we counsel and we sit down with the patient, we realize that doesn't make sense. I need to try and get pregnant now or it's not going to work because freezing doesn't make sense. So timely is most important, but that's not enough, right? The second thing, it has to be biologically plausible. We have to have evidence saying that these techniques work. While we used to say 40% of eggs would survive a thaw, now we could say 85% of eggs survive a thaw.
Wow.
Now, this is huge, huge difference, right? Yeah. You have 10 eggs, well, chances are you're going to get to utilize 8 or 9 of them, right? Whereas before, you were lucky if half of them would survive the thaw. We have to make sure it's safe, right? Safety, not just the patient, but safety regarding a potential child, right? So we know the risks of the procedure are minimal, and so we do it routinely. But we know more than that. We know that the eggs can thaw successfully, and we know that it doesn't increase any risk of birth defects, right? Because you wonder, gee, maybe something happens, you freeze the egg, something weird can happen, and you go and have a child, and then there's an increase in abnormalities. Absolutely not. We've been utilizing data, randomized control studies, showing that we use the donor egg population, right? Women who use eggs of younger women, and there was absolutely no changes.
As the science progresses, do you ever consider eggs that you maybe had frozen 10 years ago, could they be updated, and or you don't mess with them? They are frozen and they await usage or not?
That's a fair question. And no, you don't mess. The bottom line is you don't want to mess with them. Once they're frozen, they're frozen. You know, at RMA, we've been using vitrification for over 10 years now.
Yes.
So we definitely have those eggs frozen in the correct, with the correct technique.
Exactly.
However, if you have some eggs frozen somewhere and they didn't use that technique, should you thaw them and refreeze them with a new technology? Absolutely not. Whatever you have at this point, and hopefully the quality of the eggs that you have is going to be sufficient to withstand any stressor. But let me bring one point, since you're asking this question, which is a very valid one. And that is, it matters where you freeze. Half price, or you get a sale, or you get a discount, and, you know, we'll freeze your eggs. And there's, you know, like anything, right? This is no different than, you know, going to shop in a place where you pay for what you get, right? Let me turn that one around. The way the technology is applied is not uniform throughout the country. You have to be at a reputable lab where you know that if they're saying this is what we're doing, you're in one of the best labs in the country, and we are going to preserve your eggs. And when you go use those eggs, you have, you know, 85% chance that these eggs are going to thaw and give you potentially a baby. You have to go in a lab where that is done correctly.
Wasn't there a story about a year or two ago, was it a Seattle lab, where something happened where the freezer system broke down?
It happened.
Yeah.
They didn't take enough precautions, or they mixed them up, or, oh, I thought it was mine, but it was somebody else's.
Oh, boy.
Or how are they frozen? And how do you know how are they frozen? Because when you go thaw them, you get maybe 2 or 3 instead of getting 8 or 9 if you had frozen 8, 10, right? So you basically are buying into a promise, right? So you are not going to know when you invest your money and you freeze these eggs, what's going to happen.
I guess, doctor, you wouldn't go to visit the eggs to make sure that they're safe as you wait to use them. But I imagine having trust in the facility and knowing that they're doing the right thing. Does anybody on your end check on the eggs to make sure everything is copacetic?
So the check is done at the time the procedure takes place. Once they are stored, which we know exactly where they are, we will know down to the canister exactly where their eggs are stored, then we know they're safe. And that is exactly what you are investing your money in. Not just, you're investing your money in the technique, you're investing your money in the reputation of the facility and the doctors who are doing the retrieval piece, and the doctors who are deciding what kind of protocol to utilize for you to stimulate, to have your ovary stimulated. You're investing in the embryologists who are taking these eggs, freezing them, and the technique that they use in freezing them. And you're investing also in the facility being responsible for the safety of these eggs. So that we're not at the beck and call of, oh, we lost electricity, there was a tornado, there was whatever, and oh, geez, we're so sorry, we lost everything. No, we have so many precautions in place that nothing can happen short of a catastrophic event, in which case, who cares? It won't matter. Those eggs are there for as long as you need them to be. And there's no time limitation. There's no like, oh, sorry, we got freezer burnt and the eggs are no longer useful. It's not like freezing chicken in the freezer in the kitchen, right? These are frozen at such temperatures that time is not a factor. They are going to be as good today as they're going to be 10 years from now when you may want to utilize them.
How long do you usually keep eggs?
As long as needed. There's no time limit right now.
Sadly, if someone freezes their eggs and then they pass away, what happens to the eggs? Or is that a legal question?
It's more of a legal question to some degree, but eggs are not as complicated as embryos. You know, that's the property of the individual. The individual no longer is there, so those eggs no longer can be utilized. What we have had happen instead is more a situation where there's a sperm involved and one of the two individuals passes. And then you decide, oh, what happens to those embryos when one of the individuals in the couple is no longer alive? Yeah. That's a little bit more complicated. The situation of cancer, that may be more of a complication.
If I wanted to get my eggs frozen, take mm-hmm. me step by step through what would happen.
I will do an evaluation, meaning I will tell you, hey, this is worth it for you or this is not worth it for you. You still have a chance. We will do basically what an evaluation of your reproductive potential. We check hormone levels and we do an ultrasound, a very quick evaluation. The ultrasound, we look at the ovary. When you look at an ovary, you see what's available every month. What happens every month is like you have a whole bunch of what are called follicles. And these follicles are like fluid sacs. And then within these sacs, there's like little microscopic eggs. You can't see them. So when you do an ultrasound, you'll see, is there two follicles in the ovary? Is there 10? Is there 20? That tends to correlate with what your reproductive potential. If I look at an ovary and I see a lot of follicles, I'll say, hey, well, you look great. This is definitely potential here. But then we check your hormones. And there's two hormones that give us information about egg quantity and egg quality. So if you fall within the range of what's considered to be within the norm, what's considered to be good potential, we will proceed. With a matter of a couple of days, you'll know. You'll know very quickly. The day I see you, I'll be able to tell you what your ovaries look like. And within a few days later, I'll be able to tell you what your hormones levels are. But within a week, you'll have a sense whether this is reasonable or not.
Obviously, it doesn't pay for you to just tell people what they want to hear. You have to just be sometimes brutally honest, I guess.
Absolutely. And I have had a few patients where I sat down with them. I said, look, reproductive potential is low. IVF does not make sense. We're going to be lucky if we get one or two eggs. If you want to use your eggs, you should get pregnant. So let's get a donor sperm if we don't have a partner. Or if you have a partner, think about, you know, maybe changing your plans. If you guys want to have children with your own eggs, you have to do it now. Or it's going to be very unlikely that you're going to be able to do it. Unlikely that's going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
But then we talk about the reality. Listen, you may need to use a donor. Sometimes life throws things at you and you have to kind of roll with the punches, right?
Yeah.
And you have
to
change your plans. But let's think about the more positive scenario, which is you come in, I say, Pat, you look great and everything looks good. So what do? Well, we can start you. Sometimes if people are really urgently in need of starting, like, for example, a cancer patient, we start them that very day.
Wow.
So forget the hormone levels. Yeah. You're going to start your medications tonight. But other time, when you have a little bit more time, you basically just wait for your period, right?
Yeah.
You wait for your period. And how long does it take you to get there? Well, think about how long it takes you to ovulate. 8 to 10 days from the third day of your cycle. That's how long an IVF cycle is. Well, what are we doing? We're doing what your body does, right? What does your body do? Your brain gives you particular hormones, and every month it gives you just enough to grow one follicle. One follicle means it's growing one egg. That's what your body does. Then you're going to ovulate, and then 2 weeks after you ovulate, if you're trying to get pregnant, you're going to get your period. That's what your body does on its own. All we're doing is we are telling the ovary to grow those other follicles that are there that would otherwise die. Your hormones are kind of like a fertilizer, right? If you want, it's nourishment. So if you want to nourish only one egg, which is what your brain wants to do, then you're just going to give a little bit to the ovary. If you want to nourish a lot more and grow a lot more follicle, you're going to give a higher amount of those same hormones.
The new contraception that keeps a woman from having her period for a few months, does that ever complicate matters for you?
Yeah, we have to stop that. If you're taking something that's blocking that process, we have to temporarily interrupt that. The only thing we don't have to mess with is IUD. Like if you have an IUD with progesterone, you know, those kinds of birth control, it's different.
When a woman does come in to have her eggs, I guess harvested is the proper term?
Yes, harvested.
Is that a painful process?
Yes. How are these hormones getting into your body? Well, they're taking these hormones through these little injections. I don't know if you know anybody who takes insulin. But it's these tiny little needles. They're in the stomach. Those are not really painful. These are just small little pricks. You take these injections at night. So let's say you have this period of 8 to 10 days. You come to our center every 2 to 3 days. So we're monitoring how you're progressing. Tonight, you're going to take what's called the trigger shot, the shot that's going to start the ovulation process.
Mm-hmm.
So 36 hours later, we're going to go get those eggs out. That's the part that's painful. Why is it painful? Because you're going to get a needle that goes in vaginally, and that hurts. But how do we resolve that problem? We're going to put you asleep. 10-minute procedure. And you're not intubated, okay? You're still breathing on your own, but you're just asleep because you don't want to feel that needle puncture. Needle goes directly into the follicles because this is all under ultrasound guidance. So I'm in the operating room. The needle, I see where the follicle is. The needle goes into the follicle, and then I'm going to aspirate or suction out all that fluid. That 10-minute procedure is the procedure that people think about. That's where you have, that's where that's uncomfortable. It's painful because you're a needle puncture.
Yeah.
So you're not going to feel that. You're not going to feel a thing. But afterwards, you may feel sore. You go home that same day. So you kind of take it easy that day. Mm-hmm. You have a few high achiever type A who want to go back to work that day. We have to fight with them and say no, especially doctors and nurses are the worst. So
this is done, doctor, right at RMA?
Yes. Okay. We have our main hub, so we have offices, we have clinics throughout the state.
Mm-hmm.
There's 10 clinics throughout the state of New Jersey, for that matter. We have them all over the country, but nice. RMA New Jersey, per se, has 10 offices throughout the state. But the hub where the lab is actually in Baskin Ridge, where we do all our retrievals, we do all our embryo transfers. When you actually put an embryo, you transfer, meaning you take the embryo from the lab and you put it inside the uterus. All of that is done in Baskin Ridge. That's where our eggs are stored. That's where our embryos are stored. That's where all the procedures take place.
You've been doing this for a while, but to me, it's almost like a religious experience, the way you're talking about it. I mean, do you ever think when you're doing this, wow?
You know, I do, but I have to tell you, the one thing that I always still get chills when it's happening is when we do the embryo transfer. You know, the eggs, of course, is something we are used to seeing. However, when you see an embryo, you see the embryo, so everything is projected on the screen. You're in the room, the embryologist is right there with you. And they'll show you the embryo. They'll show the embryo as it's placed in the catheter. And you see this little thing going to the little catheter. And you see it moving into the catheter. And then you yourself take this catheter and you'll see yourself putting the embryo inside the uterus. And you'll see the whole thing on an ultrasound. It always gives you a sense of wonder when you see that. Like, wow, we're actually in the process of potentially creating life. That's the best part of my job.
The wow factor is high.
There is a wow factor, and there is a sense of, wow, I'm so lucky to be in this field. I'm so lucky to be part of this couple's life. Mm. And the thing is, when people freeze their eggs, we've had them come back already. Some women come back and they say, hey, doc, I guess I'm still single. Here I am. You know, let's go use those eggs. So we talk about, I had this boyfriend. Oh my God, he was terrible. I had this other one. Oh my God, he's horrible.
Yeah.
I still haven't met my perfect guy. However, I want to be a mother, right? I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait for my mate. Yeah. Or we've had people, you know, hey, there's my husband.
Yeah.
We've been trying for a year. I can't get pregnant. I want to go utilize my eggs. Or I would tell you another patient I have who got pregnant, met somebody, then they got pregnant, had their baby, and then by the time she was ready for baby number two, she was already in her 40s and couldn't get pregnant on her own. So she came back and she used her eggs for baby number two. That's how they got their second baby. So there's different scenarios. You have to remember, we like to keep those eggs as our last resort. Even if you found a partner and you have a child, you may want to have a second one or may want to have a third one. You should not use those until you have no other options. Everyone has different scenarios. Everyone has different concepts of what a family is. So we're very active, even in the LGBTQ community. Everyone has different reasons to freeze their eggs.
I was just going to ask about same-sex couples. Have you seen a lot of that at your practice?
Yes, we do it all the time. Mm-hmm. We do that all the time. We have same-sex couples who come in. One of them is the one who wants to try and get pregnant. They'll find a donor sperm, and the other partner is there for support and companionship, of course. Or couples where one is the individual who's going to freeze the eggs, and the other member of the couple is the individual who's going to carry the baby. So, you know, one of the partners has no intention to carry the baby, so they will freeze the eggs, and then the partner will be the one who carries, or they'll swap.
During the pandemic, I remember doing a interview with, I think, somebody from RMA about how life went on during the pandemic. Yeah. There were still people coming in to get either IVF or to have their eggs frozen.
Yeah, we did everything in our power to not deprive, especially women who are older, of the opportunity to stay within that window of time where they could still freeze eggs or freeze embryos. Because women, as they're getting older, they don't have that sort of, oh, let me just wait for COVID to end.
What about the cost of these procedures?
It's within between 7,000 to 8,000. And now a lot of companies like Google, for example, are now covering that cost because they sort of get it that women want to do this. And so then they can focus on their career. So companies are getting smarter. And it's like, you know what? We should cover this. Let them do what they want to do. And then they can focus on their career.
You have been absolutely incredible. But I'm sure I didn't ask you about certain things that you want to mention.
I'm so about empowering women. And to me, it's such a personal issue that I just want women not to be scared. So many young women now are, you know, go-getters. And I am, you know, I'm just so impressed with young women today. I have a daughter who's in her 20s and I see her. I see how active she is. I see how involved she is. And this is just one of those things that I just want women to become more aware, not to be scared, and to ask questions. Ask questions. We can answer them. Your fertility is part of who you are. It's part of the wealth of being a woman. It's part of the power of being a woman. Go out there, get the information, and decide what you want to do because we're here to help you. That's really what to me is important.